And then kids can be dismissed for junior church. And scripture reading for this morning is going to be Romans chapter 15. And we're going to do verses 23 through 33. But now that there is no more place for me to do work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessing, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for just the opportunity to come here and just to worship you and to hear from your word. I thank you for each and every one of us that is able to be here today. I pray that you just open our hearts and minds as Pastor Craig comes and shares the message that you have laid upon his heart. Thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Bobby. Well, as we continue our study through Romans, last time we were together, we saw some of the things that drove Paul to do what he did. And we noted that God's grace, God's glory, and God's gospel were really some of the driving, it was the driving force behind Paul and his ministry. God and his will was at the center of everything that Paul did. So when Paul made plans for the future, like we see him doing here, we can be sure that Paul wanted God at the center of those plans. Now, God wants us. He wants us to make plans. He wants us to have goals. He wants us to have a vision for the future, because that's how things get done. Okay? Listen to this little bit of literature. The first manned spaceship was launched during the month of December by the United States from a base in Florida. The ship was made up of mostly aluminum, weighed 19,250 pounds, and cost about $12.1 billion to build. It sent three astronauts to the moon, and after they were complete, they completed the first ever moonwalk and some studies. They returned to Earth. Their capsule splashed down into the Pacific Ocean and was recovered by a U.S. Navy vessel. Now, what I read to you is not history. It is not history at all. In fact, it is the summarized plot line of Jules Verne's 1865 novel called From the Earth to the Moon. And while there are some similarities, some pretty intricate similarities between what he wrote and what actually happened, there are also some significant differences, okay? But the point is 100 years before the fact, he imagined it. He had a vision for it. And I'm convinced that his vision for this actually was instrumental in men and women 100 years later actually making some plans and setting some goals to actually send some people to the moon and land there. They had a goal. They had a plan. They had a vision. And without it, I don't believe it would have happened. God wants us to make plans. He wants us to have goals, and he wants us to have a vision for the future. And in our passage today, we're going to find Paul making some very, very confident plans. But like Paul, we as God's children need to make sure that God is always at the center of those plans. Our goals, our visions for the future, our plans must first and foremost bring glory to God. And so this morning, through some travel plans of Paul, we are going to learn some biblical principles of making plans. Some biblical principles of setting goals. Some biblical principles of a vision for the future. Our subject this morning is Paul's plans from Romans 15, verses 23 through 33. And again, as we go through these plans, each one is going to demonstrate really a core principle of making plans for our future. Now, Paul wanted to go to Rome. He had wanted to go for quite some time, and Paul's first plan was simply a meeting in Rome. That was his first plan that we read about here, a meeting in Rome. Paul actually opened this letter to the churches at Rome saying this. This is from Romans 1:11. He says, I long to see you. I long to see you. From the very beginning of this letter, Paul stated that he wanted to go to Rome someday and visit the believers there. And now here near the end of this letter, this is what he says. Verse 23. Chapter 15, verse 23, says, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Now, we're going to learn some pretty neat things from these two verses. But here we find that Paul had some very definite plans for his future. He planned a meeting in Rome on his way to Spain, and this was not just some whimsical idea, all right? Jules Verne, in his book, his novel, From the Earth to the Moon, he imagined a moon landing, all right. But he did not have the facts to substantiate it. In fact, in the book, the rocket ship or ship itself is actually shot there out of a cannon. They basically aimed at the moon and boom, shot them, all right? So that can't happen, for those of you who don't know what G-force is. Anyway, but he planned a meeting in Rome, and it wasn't just some whimsical idea. There was some very logical and well-thought-out factors that led to this planned meeting in Rome. And the first one is this, a completed duty in Greece. That's where he had been ministering. Paul was not about to leave for Rome until his work in Greece was done. Now, it's interesting. In verse 22, just before what we read this morning, it was his duty in Greece that had kept him from going to Rome. But now we learn that his duty in Greece has been pretty much completed. He says he no longer has place in these parts, meaning the work that he had been called to do there was pretty much done. This doesn't mean that he shared the gospel with every single person in that area. It means that as God had called him to plant churches in that area, he went there and he did it. Paul had gone and planted churches everywhere that God wanted him to do so, and now those churches could reach out to the remaining people in those areas. So a completed duty in Greece was the first factor. The second one was a continued desire for Rome. Again, this was not just a fleeting whim. It wasn't spontaneous or compulsive. He wasn't just flying by the seat of his pants here. Our passage says it was a great desire. It's so intense to the point that he had longed for many years to go to Rome. In chapter 1, verse 13 of Romans, he says, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now." God led Paul to a lasting desire to minister in Rome. The third factor is a conceived demand in Spain. You see, the pieces fit. Spain was a logical and reasonable destination for Paul. We noted a couple weeks ago that Paul's calling majored in church planting and minored in church pastoring. He was more of a foundation guy rather than a framer. You remember that? Okay. And for that reason, knowing the need for churches in Spain, Paul logically conceived that that's where God would take him next as a long-term ministry. There was a conceived demand. And before we're done here this morning, we're going to learn that Paul's goal, his plan, his vision, it was a good one, but God had a better one. Okay, and we're going to see that before we're done. But the last factor here was a commended deputation to Spain. Listen to the end of verse 24 again. He says, the second half, it says, "And to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." The church today has a term that is often used of those who believe they are called to a particular ministry or mission field. And they go out raising support to help them. And I've incorporated that term into this subpoint. It's called deputation. Deputation is a process of a missionary visiting like-minded Christians to gain support for the mission they believe God has called them on. They will go and they will share with other people and other churches their plans, their goals, their visions, and raise support for that. And that support could be anything from finances to prayer support to even manpower to go with them. And that is exactly one of the reasons Paul wanted to stop in Rome. He wanted that kind of encouragement from that. He wanted their help, whether it be prayerful, financial, or physical. We here at River Valley Bible Church, several times a year at least, we have missionaries come to us and share their ministry. Okay. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we had a gentleman here from the Gideons. Here in a couple weeks from now, we're going to have a young lady who has spent about 6 months in Nigeria and wants to go back long term. She's going to come and she's going to share what God has laid on her heart to do and give us an opportunity to help, whether it be prayerful, financial, or maybe even physically. Okay? Each one of these factors can serve us as well in determining our plans and our goals to make sure that they are centered in God. And let me just review them. And we can ask ourselves by way of application these questions concerning maybe our goals, our vision, our plans. Have we completed the duty where we are currently? Again, remember, Paul didn't make these plans or this decision until he knew that God was finished with him in the region of Greece in Asia Minor. So have we completed the duty where we are currently? If God has led where we are for a specific reason, it is unlikely, not impossible, but unlikely that he will lead us elsewhere until the job is done. Here's another question. Do we have a strong, lasting desire in that other direction? You see, if God is leading us to a specific place or ministry, he will oftentimes give us an intense, long-lasting desire in that direction. Is there a need that we will fill there? If God is leading us to a specific place or duty, certainly there's a reason for it. I believe you are here for a reason. You are here for a reason. Is there a need that we will fill? Is there a place for us there? And then the last question is, are there other believers that share our vision? Are there other believers that share our vision? Do other believers see the need and see us filling it to the point that they want to be a part of it? I know of missionaries that thought that God was leading them someplace. And actually, God confirmed that that's not the case, because the provision was not met. There weren't people that saw that or shared that. And I'm not saying that's always an indicator, but it can be. Paul planned a meeting in Rome, and for these very reasons that we've looked at, and he being one who proved to be in tune with God's will, serves as a great example for us in discerning the will of God and in God's direction for us as well. And here's our principle. Here's our principle from this planned meeting in Rome. Our plans should always seek God's leading. Our plans, regardless of what they are, big or small, should always seek God's leading. And that is what prompted Paul's plan for this meeting in Rome. Paul's next plan was a ministry for Jerusalem. Look at verse 25. He says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." And we'll fill in some of the gaps here in just a minute. But before Paul would go to Spain via Rome, before he would stop off and meet those people in Rome, he had one last thing to complete concerning his ministry for Greece. And it shows us that Paul did not allow his future plans to deter what still needed to be done right now. Future plans should not hinder present ministry. Paul's priority was still the good of the saints and the glory of God. And right now, it was going to take him to Jerusalem. I'm sure you've all heard the term short-timers syndrome. Maybe you have had short-timer syndrome before, okay? But it happens when a project or a job or something along that line is coming to an end. You know it's coming to an end, and you know that you're going to move on to something new and exciting and fresh. I wouldn't know, but anyway. I've never had one, Bob. We're going to have to talk about this later on. Not like that. No, I don't know, but anyway. But something new and exciting, and I do know, yes, our pets fell by the wayside when our son was born. Yeah, okay, I got it. Something new and exciting. Well, that should never be the case in ministry. We let that new and exciting thing make us forget about what still yet needs to be done over here. Now, I've done that with books. I will be reading a book, and I'll be halfway through it, and all of a sudden, I'll get this new book. I'm like, wow, this looks like a good book. So I'll forget that one and I'll start this next one, all right? And I know at one point, it's been a while, but at one point I had as many as 7 unfinished books sitting on my nightstand. And I would love to tell you I finished them all, but now they're in the bookshelf unfinished. The markers are still in there, though, just in case. Just in case. But this should never be the case in ministry. If God has called us to a job, we've been called to complete it. Paul did not let his future plans deter from his present ministry. He had a few last things to wrap up in a concern Jerusalem before his planned trip to Spain via Rome. What prompted this ministry in Jerusalem? Well, it was a material gift. A material gift. Look at verse 26. He says, "For it pleased those in Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem." Even though Paul had plans for Spain via Rome. There was yet some work to be done before that took place. The churches in both the northern and southern regions of Greece, Macedonia and Achaia, sent a gift, a monetary gift, with Paul for the needy saints in Jerusalem, Jewish believers, okay? It was a willful love offering from the Gentile believers to the Jewish believers. And Paul saw it as a wonderful ministry opportunity. This ministry was prompted by a material gift and a mutual grace. Look at verse 27. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of the spiritual things, the Jews' spiritual things, okay, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. All of the spiritual things that the Jewish people had were given to them by the grace of God. They were given the Word of God. They were given the blessings of God. They were given promises of God. They were even given the Son of God. And it was through the Son of God that the Gentiles could now partake in many of these spiritual things as well. And both Jews and Gentiles had a mutual grace. But Paul says that because believing Gentiles were blessed by the spiritual things given specifically to the Jews, it's only fitting. In fact, my translation said it is their duty that the Gentiles bless the Jews in the only way that they could, and that was through material things. And our passage says that they were glad. They were well pleased. In fact, Paul says that twice in verse 26 and 27. They were pleased to do it, and he emphasized that. All the way back in Genesis, we are told that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. They are, and always will be, God's chosen people. The church has not and will not ever replace them, and that is exactly why Paul says what he says here. Gentiles, yet, oh, the Jews. What made this present ministry so important? A messianic glory. Through this ministry, through this gift from Gentile believers to the Jewish believers, Paul desired that Jew and Gentile believers could be united in Christ. You see, at this point in time, there was still some segregation in the church between them. And Paul desired that they understand. In fact, he wrote the church at Ephesus. He says, Christ broke down the middle wall of separation. To him be the glory in the church. All believers in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Paul had a gift to deliver from the Gentile churches in Greece and Asia Minor to the needy saints of Jerusalem. And even though Paul was convinced of his calling to Spain via Rome, he had a present ministry in Jerusalem. And here's our principle. Our plans should never hinder our present ministry. Our plans should never hinder. We should never lose sight of what we're doing right now, even though God has given us a goal, a vision, and plans for the future. Paul planned a meeting in Rome, a ministry in Jerusalem, and then lastly, a mission to Spain. Verse 28 says this, Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. As soon as Paul has delivered this material gift to the needy in Jerusalem, his plan was to head to Spain, of course, stopping off in Rome. And while Paul stated this as a very, very confident plan, the next verses are going to reveal some filters that his plans went through. Okay, really, filters that all of our plans should go through. Of course, you know what a filter is. When we moved here to Mesquite, we had to get a water filter. And I know it didn't filter out everything, but at least the water tasted good now. And it's designed to make sure that only the pure makes it through. And that is what we're going to find here. What were Paul's filters in this planned mission? Well, first of all, the influence of Jesus Christ. Verse 29 says this. He says, "But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." Paul here is not so much expressing his surety in making it to Rome as he is his confidence in his purpose for going. The expressed assurance is more that his visit will be a spiritual blessing to them because of the influence and power of Christ. Paul's confidence was not in himself. It was in Jesus Christ, the Savior. And this again, it's a good filter for us. What is the purpose of our plans, ultimately? What is the purpose of our goals or our vision, ultimately? Is it the influence of Jesus Christ? Is that the desired product of our plans? Because if it is, we can have confidence as well. The other filter is the intercession of God. And verse 30 is a really neat verse. They're all neat, but we find some neat things here. It says, "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me." Now we're going to learn Paul's main prayer concerns in just a minute. But right here is how bad Paul wanted God's intercession. Paul so wanted God's way in this planned trip that he begged. He urged the churches at Rome to be praying to God for him and with him. Paul only wanted what God wanted in this. In fact, some translations word this verse as to ask prayers for the sake of Jesus. In other words, I want you churches in Rome, I only want you to be praying for what Jesus would pray for. Paul asked them to pray, and here we get some specifics. He asked them to pray through the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30 gives us some great prayer specifics. Jesus is the mediator between God and man, and we must pray through him. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And if we want our prayers to be heard, if we want our prayers to be answered, we had better understand that the only way that we have access to the God of heaven is through the name of his Son. The only reason we as believers have any clout in heaven at all is through Jesus' name. Paul wanted them to pray through the Lord Jesus. He also wanted them to pray through the love of the Spirit. Now, this is not our love for the Spirit, but rather the love that can only be produced by the power of the Spirit. In fact, Galatians 5:22 simply says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love." The fruit of the Spirit is love. If we want God to have his way in our life, what better way? What better way to receive the intercession of God than to pray to the Father through the name of his Son and by the power of his Spirit? Verse 30 invokes the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul so wanted what God wanted in this that he asked them to strive or struggle, fight with me, fight for God's way in this with me through prayer. What did Paul want them to pray for? Well, Paul actually prays it in verses 31 through 33. He says, "That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you." In this prayer, Paul prayed for three basic elements. First of all, he prayed for God's protection. In Jerusalem at this time, persecution of Christianity was on the rise. He knew that there were unbelieving Jews, in particular in that area, that wanted to put a stop to what Paul was doing, especially knowing his background. Unbelieving Jews were coming against those who preached Jesus as the Christ. So Paul asks a prayer of protection. He also wanted them to pray for God's profitability. Even many believing Jews in Jerusalem were having a difficult time with Paul's ministry to the Gentiles. And Paul's hope was that this gift that he was bringing for the needy believers, the Jewish believers in particular, from the Gentiles, would be a unifying factor and profitable for God. Pray for God's profit, and then he asked them to pray also for God's plans. The reason Paul wanted protection and profit is so that he could go to Spain and joyously stop by Rome to be refreshed. Paul's plans for Rome and Spain, notice, were all filtered through the will of God. Verse 32 again, "That I may come to you with joy by the will of God." Paul only wanted this trip if God wanted this trip. And here's the principle. All of our plans must be prayerfully filtered through God's will. Through Paul's plans for Rome, Jerusalem, and Spain, we have learned that our plans should always seek God's leading. We should always be seeking His direction in our life, regardless of what our plans are. In fact, Proverbs, a book of principles to live by, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Our plans should always seek God's leading. Our plans should never hinder our present ministry. We should never set aside what we're doing right here because something over here looks more exciting. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due." And then our plans should, or really must, be prayerfully filtered through God's will. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So if we do this, does this mean that things will always go as we planned? No, they won't. But they will always go as God planned. And that's all that matters. That is all that matters. You see, these principles are not designed to guarantee our plans, our goals, our visions. They're designed to keep us in God's plan. And again, that is all that matters. It is questionable as to whether Paul ever made it to Spain or not. In fact, as we look at Scripture, it is more probable that he didn't. However, there is some church tradition that says that he may have. He never made it to Spain, according to the Word of God. But he did make it to Rome. Just not like he thought. Just not like he thought. As he went to Jerusalem to bring that gift there, okay, to finish the duty that God had called him to, Paul was arrested. He was put in jail. And then for a time, after a time, was actually sent to Rome as a prisoner. He didn't need Rome's or the churches at Rome to help him financially because the Roman government financed the whole trip. And he ended up in Rome and he got to minister to the churches there. Okay? Paul had a good plan. God had a better one. And that's all that matters. And the gospel made it to Spain anyway, just not through Paul. Let me close with this. This is from Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we are just so thankful for the way that You can show us Paul's simple plans for Rome, for Jerusalem, for Spain, and through Your working in and through his life, give us a model for ours and some principles to live by. And Father in heaven, I do pray, Lord God, that You would prompt us to be seeking Your leading in all our plans. That You would prompt us to never allow our present ministry, or I should say, our future plans to hinder our present ministry. And Lord, that You would prompt us to prayerfully filter all of our goals, all of our plans, all of our visions, whether big or small, through Your will, just as Paul did. Thank You in Jesus' name for this lesson. Amen.